Welcome to Dad Life with Foz. My name's Luke Forrest, aka Foz. Alongside my beautiful partner Emily, I'm about to become a new dad, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So instead of doing the research privately, I thought I'd invite some of my mates along who've done this all before. And hopefully, along the way, I'm going to work out what the hell I'm doing when this baby is born. Here we are at episode 7 of the Dad Life podcast. My name's Luke Forrest. We're here at Royal Stacks once again, and it is pumping in there. There's people everywhere, isn't there, Byron?
Look at that. They're on your video teasers that you put out. There's going to be a few people having lunch. Just, they're right in shot. Look at that.
And we've just worked out, Byron's been in the radio game for about 120 years, and he's just found the sound effects button.
Mate, look at this. Look at this. I didn't even know these were here. What is that? And then I've got this one. Oh, no, we won't need those.
Yeah, right. It's not that funny, the show.
Actually, is a can laughter here?
Oh, no, that's okay. All right. Anyway, we're going to do something a little bit different today. So we've interviewed dads. It's a dad pod. We know that. But it's we're going to go slightly different angle today and get a good friend of mine. She's a mum. You might know her from season 5 of Married at First Sight. She's got the Finding the Unicorn podcast. It's Carly Bauer.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you in here.
I know. Do you need a lot of advice, Luke? What's going on?
I need a lot of advice. I was just speaking. We were just saying in the car before, we looked at a pram and I said, I don't know the difference. A pram is a pram. But Em seems to be doing a lot of research.
A lot of research. That's good. That's good. I mean, it becomes like your second set of hands, you know what I mean, your pram. So you do need to have a good one.
What one did you go for?
I went for the Upper Baby Vista 2.
Oh, what is that? Sounds like a Japanese car.
It's good. Have you got one yet?
Not yet. So we're still doing it.
Oh, okay. It's pretty good. The thing I like about it is it has a really big, like, undercarriage, so you can take it, like, with you and put a lot of stuff in if you're going shopping and that kind of thing.
And you can put it into the car or not?
You can put it into the car,
Okay, that's handy.
I know. Well, there's a lot of things that you need to think about, and when you don't know anything, like, it's hard to know what to look for.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, let's take a bit of talk about the Finding a Unicorn pod. Are you going to start doing it again?
Yes, we are going to start doing it again very, very soon, me and Eliza Paschke. So the thing is, right, I guess the podcast sort of started talking about our dating journey and, like, you know, how Eliza and I were picking up guys, and then all of a sudden I got pregnant and I got a boyfriend and all this stuff. So it's kind of taken a little bit of a turn, you know, so it's more about, like, dating, sex, relationships, like mum life, that kind of stuff.
Must be a good omen, because I went on the podcast as a guest and I met Em pretty much straight after.
There you go. Was she a listener? Did she drop into your DMs?
She wasn't a listener, no. No, but I found her. So you might need to go on the podcast.
No, I'm quite happy single. It sounds like if you go on your podcast, you just end up not single really quickly. And I'm quite enjoying it. So no, thank you. Not that you asked, but no thanks.
Now, you said you fell pregnant pretty quickly. Was it planned or was it
So just cast your mind back to 2020, right? I think they just announced there was a global pandemic going on coronavirus, and everyone had to all of a sudden stay at home, and, like, we had nothing else to do because we were so bored, so we just had sex all the time. So, no, to answer your question, no, it actually wasn't planned.
Well, I was an accident.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Doesn't mean you're any less loved, you know?
No, still loved.
Yeah, so it was an accident, wasn't planned, but a nice surprise.
And how many times a day are we talking?
Okay, mate, come on.
Sorry, anyway.
PG-rated podcast.
There are families out there having burgers for lunch.
I know, right? They don't want to hear this.
Now, anyway, you gave birth to the beautiful Bailey.
I did, yeah.
Now, talk me through Biscuit. Is that a nickname?
Yeah. So in the womb, like, we didn't obviously know what his name was going to be. We didn't know if it was a girl or boy at the start, so Biscuit was the nickname of, like, you know, baby in the womb, and then it has actually stuck. I call him Bailey now, but Neil, my partner, still calls him Biscuit.
It's a good name, Bailey.
Bailey's good. Although I actually didn't realize that all these football players with the name Bailey until I watched the AFL Grand Final this year.
They're all quite good, the players called Bailey.
I know, and I was like, shit, like, I didn't even know these guys. All of a sudden, it's like a bit of a thing, but anyway.
Now, I've been getting a lot of social DMs about asking to specifically get a mum on to ask, because really? A whole lot of the dads are telling me, talking me through the pregnancy. Because M's doing really well. M's seven months. I must admit, her energy levels are high. So I don't know whether that will go down and down and down over the next few months. But did you enjoy your pregnancy, A? And also, was there any complications, like morning sickness or even any other complications in regards to the pregnancy?
Yeah, so I absolutely hated being pregnant. Yeah,
okay.
I hated it. I've seen videos of Em and she's dancing around, like having a great time. Like, she is killing it.
What was your comment on her photo?
It was just like any other mums, like, you know, dancing around like this at however many weeks pregnant. I was like, hell no. I would have popped a hip like, at that point. Like, it's really hard on your body. Like, I found it was anyway. Because if you think about it, right, like, I've got a pretty small torso because I'm quite short. So, like,
big surfer.
Yeah, maybe. But your organs have nowhere to go. So they're just getting pushed up and, like, you can't breathe and you just feel very uncomfortable all the time. And I also got really bad pelvic pain. So I wasn't able to walk.
Well,
basically at all in the later parts of pregnancy.
So are we talking like the last month or last?
Yeah, it was about the last maybe 6 weeks. It was in a lot of pain and that was really, really hard because I'd left a lot of things to the last minute, like setting up the nursery and, you know, doing a lot of preparation. And all of a sudden I was immobile and, you know, relying on Neil, dad, to put everything together. And, you know, he can be a bit useless at the best of time. So...
Shout out, Neil.
Welcome to the pod, Neil.
No. So it wasn't the best. It wasn't the best. Like, I was very, very ready for him to come out.
Okay. And did you get morning sickness?
I did. So it was really bad probably in the first trimester. You just feel, like, really exhausted. And it just kind of, it's like an exceptionally bad hangover, but you haven't actually had any fun.
Okay.
So you just feel really, really tired all the time.
So all the girls wanting to give birth out there. Yeah, tune out of the pod now.
Yeah.
But you don't expect it to be easy.
No, of course not. I mean, you're growing a human inside you. You know, it's a monumental task, so it requires a lot of energy. But the second trimester was a lot better. The third got worse for me because of pelvic issues. But it's tough. Like, it's tough on your body, and it's also really tough to recover after having.
Did you have a C-section or a
I had a natural birth. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, that was good. We'll end it there.
Oh, strap in, lads. You're in for a real story. I mean, what have you spoken to many people about what to expect during labor?
Well, Em did actually, when she knew you were coming on, she asked me to ask you how long is it after when you can have sex.
Oh, okay. So it's going to depend how she gives birth.
Yeah.
So I had an episiotomy. Do you know what that is?
No idea.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
So basically, like, during labor, Bailey got a little bit stuck, and so they couldn't get him out properly, vaginally.
Yeah.
So they had to do the snip, essentially, right?
Okay,
so
yeah.
They didn't want me to tear, so they had to do an episiotomy, which is
a
controlled cut, I suppose. So it's basically from front to back. They give you they cut. And it's not even just... Nasty. It's not even like a shallow snip.
No.
They go in
all right.
with the scissors, right? Like, it's extreme.
Wow.
So I was... look at your face.
Anyone who's after a Royal Stacks burger?
Your single stacks ready for us.
Oh, jeez, yeah. So it's...
So the recovery is obviously a lot longer than that.
Worse, So they stitch you up, obviously, and then it's pretty painful for a long time. And, like, that's... I think it was 6 weeks, until we could have sex again. And, it was... Neil was counting down to the hour. But, like... If you
setting an alarm.
Yeah.
Did you do one of those Insta countdowns?
Probably. I mean, hormones are running high. I would have killed him. So it was obviously, like, very painful. So, I mean, if she just has a natural birth and, you know, it all comes out, like,
could be a bit more straightforward.
Might be a bit more straightforward. But is she like wanting to get back on it?
A funny story. So I'll go into a bit of a story. We were just on holidays, right?
Yeah.
And we were having sex.
Oh.
And I started laughing because I pictured the baby like rolling around going, ah!
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, and I could not stop laughing. It was the worst thing ever. Em goes, what is going on? I said, I can't do this. I'm picturing this baby throwing him around.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, so.
You've still got a little while to go. So is she feeling kicks now?
Yeah, kicks.
Okay,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Because I'm saying it as a human now.
Might boot you, like feeling something jabbing in there. And I'll be like, what's that? Get out of my space.
Oh, no. So I've got to get over that hurdle first.
But to be real about that for a minute, Fox, because I remember that bit when Zephyr was not yet to be born, and I had this fear that I would somehow hurt him.
That was this is my fear.
And that's not
it's not the case.
But respectfully, when you're in a certain zone, but when you start thinking about those sorts of things, it can sort of throw you off your game a little bit, so to speak.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, did you have sex right up until you gave birth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm able to do it, I've just got to get over this mental hurdle of worrying about hurting the baby.
I mean, come on, guys.
I'm really pumping up my time.
You're not that big, come on. Jesus. I think the baby will be fine.
No, thank you, guys.
It's a different, like, area. Right. It's like a different canal. Like,
I think
you'll be okay.
Thank you. No, I'll be fine.
But, I mean, the baby will feel the jiggling. But, you know, I think a doctor told me at one point that it's just like they're, like, you know, on a boat. The baby thinks they're at a water park. Like, that's what they said to me. So, there you go.
And another one. Were you scared to give birth or were you excited?
I didn't know what to expect. I didn't prepare at all, so I had no idea about anything. I didn't do any classes beforehand, nothing. So I was scared. I wouldn't say I was excited. I guess more like just a bit nervous. It's a bit daunting.
And towards the end, you just sort of want to get it over.
Yeah, you just want to get it over with. Because you just are like, I was very uncomfortable towards the end, so I just wanted it. Like, I just wanted him out so I could feel normal again, so...
Beautiful. And for the fellas, talk us through the day of the birth. When do we have to take you to hospital? Like, when is the moment? As soon as your water breaks, is that it?
Yeah. Well, it's different for everybody, but my water did break. And so I was only 37 weeks, so I was I gave birth 3 weeks early, so we weren't really prepared. I hadn't packed my hospital bag, like nothing. So that's just a little tip. Be prepared because anything can happen. Like,
I should be doing that now.
Yeah, like get stuff ready just in case. So I was just literally laying on the bed. I stood up and it was like a waterfall. It just went whoosh. Yep. And I looked down and this is happening. Undeniably, this is happening. Mm. And I just ran around the house like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I think that's all I said for about 5 minutes. And I'm like, shit, I need to ring the midwife.
What was Neil doing at this stage?
He was doing actually.
Running around going, oh, my God, oh, my God.
In typical Neil fashion, he gets out his like phone and starts videoing me. So there's a video of me running around. And then I'm sitting on the toilet and I'm like, is this wee? Is this wee? Like, I just like couldn't figure it out. Like, and he's just filming me like, this is great. This is great. So we rushed to the hospital.
Straight in.
Because I didn't know. Like, I didn't know if it was coming out in 5 minutes or 5 hours. Mm. Like, I had no clue. So we rushed to the hospital. And had to get checked out and all that kind of stuff. But it was quite funny because it was during COVID times, and I remember standing at the doors to emergency, and they were like, "Oh, what are you here for?" And then all of a sudden, another gush came out of me over the floor, and I was like, "My water's broken. I'm giving birth." And they were like, "Let her in, let her in." Like, they didn't make me, like, you know, sign whatever to get in.
But are you serious? You walk in, you look enormous.
Yeah,
there's things going. Out of your body, and they go, what are you here for?
Hang on while we give you this sheet to sign.
Like, that was pretty much what was happening, and I was like, guys, let's put COVID aside. It's just coming out right now. Wow. Like, I'm in.
And was it a quick labor?
No, it wasn't. So I actually went in, and they had to assess, like, you know, whether or not, like, my water had actually broken, and actually, let me tell you this little one. So the way that they can tell if your water has broken is they make you put a sanitary pad in your underwear.
Okay.
And then they wait like a little bit of time for like some of the like water to come out and soak it. the midwives take the pad and they smell it.
Oh.
And if it smells like semen, that means that's what it smells like. That means they know that your water is broken. Yeah, so it actually smells like cum.
That's very prehistoric how they do that, isn't it?
Is there not a more modern way to...
So, like, I had this midwife standing there.
Surely like a rat test or something.
She didn't tell me that that's why she was doing it. So she's, like, standing there sniffing this pad, and then someone else comes in the room and sniffs the pad. And then I'm looking at them like this, and they're like, oh, we're doing this because of X, Y, Z. You know, then they explained it to
me. That's good to know. I might actually do that now. So if M's waters break, I'll just smell it.
Smell it. And if it smells, this piss or has it water broken?
Perfect. It could save you a lot of time. Yeah, you could stay at home for a few extra hours.
Oh,
if it doesn't smell like semen, is that the test?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, noted.
Great, great. So, and then after that, it was another 12 hours till it came out. So it was pretty long. I think just because I wasn't dilating and...
What was Neil doing in that 12 hours? Did he need to? Did you have anything you wanted him to do for you? While you were...
His number one task was make sure that I get the epidural in time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I said that to him. I said, I don't care what else you do.
Yeah.
Just make sure I get the epidural and don't miss out. Because a lot of people, like friends of mine, had said that sometimes if you wait a little bit too late or the guy, whatever his name is, does...
The anaesthetist?
That's the one. Oh, you really know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Maybe don't listen to my advice.
Well, Byron's had a kid, so you know.
Yeah, there you
I remember
go.
The anaesthetist. It's hard to say, but I know what they do.
So you know, sometimes you can miss out. So I was like, I am not doing this naturally, like without drugs. Like, why would you want to do that? Like, come on, put yourself through that.
I think Em wants to do it naturally. Some girls are bad.
Does she?
Yeah, no.
Why?
I have no idea.
It's like, if you can have the option of not being in the worst physical pain of your entire life, like it's like chopping your leg off.
I know.
Like before.
That's what Gordy said. It's like chopping your leg off and still playing through the pain.
Oh, oh really? Yeah. It like, absolutely. So, and even like, so I got the epidural after... maybe 3 hours, and that 3 hours prior to that of contractions was easily the most pain I've ever been in my life, and that was before pushing.
Wow.
So it's pretty extreme. So I guess just like, yeah, if she wants to do it naturally, great, like all power to her, like good on her, she's a good woman.
If she's in pain, I'll be recommending the needle.
Yeah. for sure. But they also have happy gas as well that you can like use at any time, so she can use
that. I can use that as well?
Yeah, you can. Sure.
Get Foz on the green whistle.
I know. That can be a bit of a good time, although bloody Neil, in typical Neil fashion again, he actually, when the nurses, midwives weren't in the room, he actually turned up the happy gas for me, but he didn't realise he was actually turning it down until later. And so I had been sucking the bloody happy gas for hours, and I was in so much pain and it wasn't doing anything. And then later on, like it was hours later, and one of the midwives comes in and goes, oh, why is this turned down, and turned it up. So
bloody Neil,
he really stitched me up.
Don't touch that. So the advice is don't touch stuff. If you're in that room, don't touch any of the stuff, Foz. Don't touch buttons, leave everything alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, leave it to the professionals.
Noted.
Don't think you know better, because they probably do, you know. So
Nam's got about 2 months to go. What should I be doing for her now? Is there anything I should be doing, or should I just be doing what I'm doing and not a whole lot at the moment?
Do absolutely anything she asks you to do, seriously. I mean, she's going through a lot. I don't know. I would just say, like, do the things that you can, like help out with the housework and that kind of thing, like, you know, because she might not be able to move around as easily, and just, I guess, just get prepared with stuff. Like, do you have the nursery, like, ready?
Nursery's getting there, pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay. I've done well with that. That's my thing.
Okay, that's
builder
good.
By trade, so
yeah,
I can start whipping some things together. We're trying to use a lot of secondhand stuff, so trying not to buy it.
Very good idea, because a lot of the time, like babies, you know, they might not use it, they might not like it, or they'll only use certain things for like 3 months and outgrow them.
A lot of plastics in toys as well.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's the best way to go about it, absolutely.
Now, I actually got this from one of the followers on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would imagine girls would possibly get insecurities about their body changes. Mm-hmm. Did you get any of that when you were pregnant?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's actually really hard to go from being what you are like prior to pregnancy and all of a sudden just see yourself getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And like, obviously you're carrying like your child, but it's still hard, like absolutely. And then, you know, it's not particularly easy to lose the baby weight afterwards either. So, you know, it is a little bit hard.
Well, you're looking great, Carly.
Oh, thanks.
She wasn't fishing for that.
No, no, no. I think she was.
Yeah, I was for sure. If you didn't say that, I was walking out.
Wait till you hear the question she asked later on. On Instagram, we'll find out later.
Okay.
This is one for me. So Emma cried, she had gastro the other day, started crying, so her hormones are running wild. Yeah. How do I control them?
You can't control them, man. Like, the thing is about your hormones, right, is that when you're pregnant, they go to, like, the highest levels that they will ever be in, like, Em's life, you know. And then once you give birth, they actually plummet to the lowest they'll ever be.
Okay.
And so that's what's responsible for like the baby blues after like you give birth and like why there can be a lot of like, you know.
Do you have any of that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's so tough. Like it's so tough because you're going from being like just the two of you doing whatever you want at any stage of, you know, of the day sort of thing to life is completely different, you know. So, It's stressful. It's stressful.
Yeah.
So the mood fluctuations, the sleep deprivation, it's very, very hard. Mm. So, and you'll probably be moody too. Like, like if you're not sleeping for like 2 or 3 months straight, like, which is probably, you know, like it's pretty tough.
Did you do the birthing classes?
No. I didn't do anything. So I was through peak COVID, like the time when like it was literally 8 p.m. curfew, you know that time that was real shit in Melbourne. So there weren't any classes. So no, we didn't do it.
All right. Now, talk me through the first day you get home with Bailey.
Yeah.
How was that?
So overwhelming, honestly. Like, even just the first day in the hospital was really hard because the midwives are so good during the birth. And then the second you give birth, you're like left in the room basically by yourself. And it's like, see ya. And it's like, look after this baby now. And it's extreme.
Is it?
Because it's like you second guess yourself over everything, right? Like the baby's crying. What do they want? Like, am I producing any milk? Like, if you know, emphasize to breastfeed, it's like, it's hard. And so you just, it's very, very overwhelming. There's a lot of mixed emotions going on, you know, like, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough. And then they just sleep so, like, off and on, and you can't rest.
Have you had a good baby, or has he been a bit of a
prick? Worst baby in the face of the earth?
He's got that face. I noticed him. He's got that smile that he's doing evil things.
Cheeky little shit. Honestly, like now he is. So, but when he was little, he had colic, which is like sort of gassy sort of issues, I guess, in the stomach. But he was awake at this for the first 8 weeks. From midnight till 5 a.m., screaming.
Non-stop
for 5 hours. And this is every single night for the first 8 weeks.
Wow.
So it was just insanity. Like,
so you couldn't sleep. You obviously couldn't sleep.
Nah.
Neil couldn't sleep.
No one could sleep. So it was just, it was real, real tough. And just even like in the times that baby is sleeping, you know, if you're breastfeeding, you still have to like get up to feed the baby every hour.
Did you bottle feed?
I breastfed at the start. I had a little bit of trouble with that, so I expressed and then fed the baby with the bottle.
Isn't that a great machine?
Oh,
the expresser.
Oh man, you feel like a cow. Yeah. It's like you literally have these like things attached to your boobs. I just like used to walk around the house with them, just like hanging off my.
I suppose it helps you get sleep though, doesn't it? Because you can express and then
Neil can feed at night as well.
I think that'll be my job. I reckon that'll be my job.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to really knuckle down and get through those like first couple of months because it's real hard. But you never know. Like, you might have a good baby. He was a bad baby.
Mm.
Like, he was not a good baby.
I think you actually messaged me. You said, this baby's a prick.
His baby is evil. Yeah, like, totally. But, I mean, now he's just like, when I see him with other kids, he's the one that's like, pushing the other kids over, chucking shit at them, or he's real naughty.
He's your kid.
He is. He totally is. Like he's a real naughty, but he's got a lot of confidence, a lot of spunk. Like, he's real cheeky. So, and like, I don't think I wouldn't want to ever change him and have like a quieter kid, even though it might be easier, you know.
How old is he now?
He's 15 months.
So I suppose you're starting to see their personality coming.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. He's definitely got a bit of a personality now. So, yeah. No, he's
now, for all cutie. The dads, what's Neil's role around the house for the first year?
Bloody hell, nothing.
No, he does nothing.
No, I'm joking. I'm actually being so mean to him. I hope he doesn't listen to this. No. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's really good. He helps out with everything, you know. He does, like, feeds and puts him to bed and, like, just all the usual stuff. Helps take him to daycare and stuff. But the thing is, though, like, I have to say, like, as the mum, I do more,
yep.
Right? I think that, like, I take care of all the essential things, like the feeding and the bathing and the cleaning, like, just all that stuff. And so Neil does the fun stuff, you know? More like the fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then, so because of that, he's the favourite. And it's like, I, like, pushed you out of me, got it snipped, like.
This is now a therapy session.
Never to be the same again.
Let it out. Come on. Keep going. This is good.
Thanks, guys. I feel really relieved. But, you know, like, it's kind of unfair. It's not nice to not be the favourite, but, yeah.
So you're the disciplinary, you reckon?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he does sort of discipline him, I suppose, but,
I think you need one of each, I reckon. I think I'll be the disciplinary. I think it will be fun.
So? Yeah. Really?
I was with a dog. I'm just going by what we do with a dog.
Yeah, right. Well, someone's got to, I guess. But it might change. You might, like, just melt when you see the little baby's face.
Do you think his comparison of a child to a dog is of any consequence? Do you have a pet?
I actually don't have a pet. Okay. But, like, I hear people say, you know, oh, I go through this with my puppy and it's real hard. And I think, you know what? You can leave the house and leave that dog. Like, and you can go out and you can do whatever you want. When you've got a kid, you can't do that ever again. It's very different.
Have you had much family support?
No, so both Neil and I are from Adelaide, so both of our, like, all our family lives in Adelaide. So for us, it's been pretty tough, like, not having, like, the grandparents here and having, you know, the guilt-free babysitters, I suppose, where you just kind of shove them off and say, here, look after them. So we haven't really had that, which has been really hard. So, yeah, do you have family?
Well, we do have here, but if you move down to Bond Beach, we'll look after him.
You say that now, but you absolutely will not. Like, when your baby is born, you will not look after him plus have a newborn. Trust me.
Well, that leading to this, what do you reckon being a mum's taught you?
What's it taught
me? You're a pretty social person as well, before.
Yeah. I think, like, yeah, you're right. Like, life has changed significantly. And I guess just learning to accept, I guess, you know, new way my life is now, new life, it's really different. But I guess just a lot of, like, patience and, you know, you just got to kind of accept that this is.
You said you went out the other night and two beers, did you? Was that right?
Oh, God, yeah. I went out last weekend and, yeah, I literally had two wines and I was drunk, like, my tolerance level.
I'm pretty sure you were like that prior.
No, I was pretty good, I reckon. No. Yeah, the alcohol tolerance is not good. But
And you can't, can you drink, you can't drink after for a while after you've had the baby. Is that right? Because you're breastfeeding?
Oh, yeah. So you can't drink when you're breastfeeding. Well, you can if you time it right. Like, I think there's a period where you sort of can, and then you've got to wait a certain amount of time for it to get out of your system before you breastfeed.
So you can't have a bender.
You can't have a bender, no. I mean, I had a champagne, like celebrating with my parents, like, after he was born, and then I was like, oh, I need to, like, breastfeed now. And I was like, oh, okay, my child can't, like, what am I going to do? Because I had alcohol in my system. So just things like that. Like, I didn't know anything, you know. Like, I learned everything through Google, so.
Yeah, it's a handy tool.
It is.
Google. Now, I've got a couple of questions from socials.
Yes.
This is from Jill Monahan.
Yes.
Did you co-sleep, or were you... Or what was the sleeping arrangement at home for the first 6 months?
So we had the bassinet in the bedroom with us, which is what they sort of recommend you doing. I think, you know, like, the term that they sleep like a baby, that's completely inaccurate, because a baby, like, sounds like a little pig. Like, they snort and, like, make all these noises and grunt, and, like, it's not quiet. So even when they're sleeping, you're like, yes, I can go to sleep now. It's like, oh, they're making a lot of noise. But like it's a safety thing. So yeah, so they you know do sleep in the room with you. They do recommend for the first 6 months of life, but like it sort of is different for everybody. And like I think you know whatever works for you. We moved Bailey into his own room at 3 months.
Did you ever have times where Neil had to sleep in another room? Or
Yeah. And we did that on purpose just so people so we could get a little bit of sleep. But yeah, then we moved Bailey at 3 months and that was probably the best thing we ever did because then we're actually able to like get some sleep, which is all you honestly care about at the start, like is just sleep. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. This is from Amy_Louis. Is your house or apartment ever clean with a baby?
Oh God. I'm actually pretty clean. So I like run around after him and I pick up like the toys and you know, the food goes everywhere and it's an absolute pigsty. And then 5 seconds later, he's throwing them around again and it looks like shit again. So it's hard. And I think that little things like that, like you need to kind of let go of as well. It's going to be a mess. You're going to have stuff all over your clothes 24/7 and you just kind of need to accept that. But it depends. Like, are you a clean person?
I'm a neat freak. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, surprisingly.
Okay. You get a lot of stuff. So do you have storage at your place?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. Because you just get a lot of stuff. And that's why, I don't know, there's baby stuff is bulky and like you go through it really quickly. So just sell it on like Facebook Marketplace and get rid of it.
Well, I was actually having breakfast with Josh Miller who did the podcast before and he's the same thing. He had Harvey, his baby there, and he's a clean freak and he would wipe all the food off. He goes, but you're supposed to let them eat and get it all over their face because it helps their senses. And Josh goes, I can't help it. I need to clean his face all the time.
Yeah, I do too. To the point where at childcare, apparently they've started to like do finger painting. And so apparently the other day he was doing finger painting and he looked at his hands and was like, because it was covered in like stuff. And it's probably because I'm constantly cleaning his hands. You know, so kind of wasn't used to it. Like, so I'm like, oh, what have I done to my child? The poor thing.
But maybe need a happy medium.
Yeah. And you just get, you like, the thing is, right, before having him, I was like so tidy. There's no way. Like, if I had something on my top, I wouldn't leave the house. I'd change it. Now, if I'm in public and his nose is running and I don't have a tissue, I'll get my own top and like wipe his nose. You know what I mean? Like, things just change.
That's your mum. That's your mum.
Totally.
Now, this is an interesting one. This is from Carly B.
oh, hang on.
How did Carly get to look so hot so quickly after she gave birth?
Well, thank you, Carly B.
Carly B from
All right. That was a joke,
everyone. How'd you get the body back in shape?
That's a joke.
Stop it, Foz. Stop it. Keep going, Foz.
Stop it. Well, I mean, you lose the first, like, little bit pretty easily because it's, like, water weight. It's amniotic fluid. It's the baby, obviously. So you lose a bit of it quickly. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I just you're very active as a mum. You're running around after them constantly. I haven't gone back to the gym. No, I haven't gone back to the gym. So, but you know what you do as a mum is that you walk a lot with the pram. So like I'm probably walking, I guess. Yeah.
There you go.
That's a great question from Carly B.
Well, Carly B. So that's the answer to your question.
Yeah, thank you, Carly B.
Now this will just about wrap this up. But what we normally do is we normally get the partner to say something nice about the dad and why he's a good dad. So this is your time to make up for everything else that you said about Neil this episode. It's like, why is Neil a good dad? Let us know.
He's just, God, when they're together, like the look on Neil's face when they're together, you can just see the absolute like love that he has for him. Like he is a great dad. I don't know. He's just always making Bailey laugh and they're always having so much fun and I can kind of understand why he's the favorite. he's pretty hands-on and he's a good dad.
Well, thanks for popping in, Carly.
Thank you for having
me. First mum.
Yeah, I know. There you go. I hope I gave you a bit of female insight.
That's for all the mums listening now. I'll tick that box.
I feel like 8 episodes in, we finally learned something.
I know. Finally some education.
Well, guys, I'm glad I could help. Good luck with everything.